to 70, I'm fine. But
12 to 70, I'm fine.
Good morning. I'd like to convene the House Committee on Business and Labor, Monday, March 30th. For those of you that are here for House Bill 3239, we will not be moving this bill today, so we will carry it over to a future date, not to be concerned. We will get to it eventually. We will be working House Bill 2893. So with that, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2893.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this is the measure that permits financial institutions to conduct savings promotion raffles. It allows the director of DCBS to adopt rules on the raffles and exempt savings promotion raffles from the definition of gambling. Becomes operative January 1 of 2016, declares an emergency, there are no amendments, there's no revenue impact, and there's no fiscal impact.
Great. Representative Barton, would you like to start us off with a motion to move a bill?
Directed to the floor, no amendments, correct, Mr. Chair?
Correct.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2893 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2893 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Widener.
I actually might have some amendments for this, but I just don't think I'll do anything with them today for Pam's sake.
Other discussion. Real discussion.
We're off to our usual start.
Does anyone have a legitimate discussion?
Not seeing any other discussion. Matthew, could we have a vote, please?
Aye.
The raffle 2893.
Margaret.
Be you, Margaret.
Yes.
Representative Espinel.
Yeah, aye.
Representative Evans.
Aye.
Representative Fagan.
Yes.
Representative Bird.
Yes.
Representative
Nose?
Aye.
Representative
Elijah?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Happy to be here.
Aye.
Chairman?
Aye. I'm not going to go that far.
House Bill 2893, having received required votes, is passed to the floor. And who should be carrying this bill?
Davis is working.
Then we'll see you move.
Representative Davis will carry the bill.
Very good.
That'll close the work session on House Bill 2893. And for you, those of you that have just shown up, we're not working House Bill 3239 today. With that, I'd open a work session on House Bill 2005. Committee, we still have a few amendments I wanted to go over for House Bill 2005. A lot of amendments out there. We're up to at least a dash 22. So we do have some more amendments. To review, it's not my intent to move any amendments today, nor move the bill. So with that, I see Representative Olson here. And I know he showed up early Monday morning so he could talk about the Dash 18s. Let's see if he's ready.
I am, sir.
He was born ready.
Good morning.
Mr. Chair, committee members.
So we got your note. So
it was personal, too.
Yeah, if you introduce yourself for the record, and you can kind of walk us through the Dash 18s, perhaps. High points, anyway.
My name is Andy Olson, state representative of the Albany area. And wish to thank you for having this opportunity to be in front of you today, share a little bit about the Dash 18s as it applies to House Bill 2005. Essentially, this bill comes on behalf of dozens of business leaders down out of the Eugene and Springfield area that I've had the opportunity to get to know and visit over the last couple of years. So I'm just going to walk through with you really quickly what it does. Section 3, well, first of all, the bill mirrors that of what the Oregon Family Medical Leave Act does, where it's 25 employees or more, 25 hours work minimum 25 hours work, also involving 180 days before using any sick leave. So I'll walk through this with you now, too. And do you have, Mr. Chair, the memo that I sent to you for everybody?
I do have it. I don't know that
I did not distribute it to the committee members.
Okay.
So I got it.
I'll just go through this really quick. You can stay with me on it. And actually, I think that this, I know there's a serious concern about wanting to provide sick leave to employees. I think this gets to that level where businesses feel really comfortable with that and are wanting to try to work together on this issue for this concern. But under Section 3 identifies the 25 employees of the Dash 18s. Section 2 identifies the 25 hours per week, which falls in line with the FEMLA. Section 3 is it changes the earned rate of 1 hour for 30 hours to 40 hours for sick leave. And then Section 3 identifies an employee must be employed for 180 days before using sick leave, and that's permissive. You have exemptions that are identified throughout section or the amendment, Section 2, in three different areas. It identifies agriculture and construction workers being exempt, seasonal and temporary workers being exempt. Then also in Section 12, it identifies collective bargaining units from being exempt on this. And then also in Section 15, it does preempt local governments for this. I don't think it would have, I don't know whether it impacts Portland or not. I do believe it would impact Eugene, City of Eugene, because they have not implemented this yet at this time. But that's really what the bill or the amendment does. It does provide an avenue for employees to have sick leave, but it's really workable for employers too as well and businesses to move forward with this, that it helps them to be consistent with what they're wanting to do.
As we're trying to absorb this, does anyone have questions for Representative Olson?
You know, I appreciate this opportunity, Mr. Chair and committee members. A piece that I did not even think about was a couple weeks ago I had breakfast with the director of the Albany Parks and Rec. They saw this as being an issue that would hurt them even with the temporary folks that they hired during the summer. So I had not thought of them from that perspective, from a public employee position. I mean, I had focused strictly only on the private sector side, but obviously this is also going to be far-reaching into that portion, too, for the public side. Just a thought.
So, Representative Doherty.
Well, maybe one additional thought is, are temporary employees included in the collective bargaining unit?
Mr. Chair, Representative Doherty, I have no idea, but that's a great question. I would think not.
Yeah, because I know some units do not cover temporaries under the collective bargaining agreement.
So back to the temporary work. So a worker must work at least 25 hours a week to be covered under this proposal. So what would seems like that would incent employers to have a lot of workers at 24 hours a week and reduce the amount of full-time workers in a particular job site, perhaps. So, I mean, that was one of the elements that we looked at in some of the other amendments, thinking that, you know, we really don't want to incent employers to have all temporary workers and no full-time workers, in, as we've seen, you know, to try to avoid having this benefit. So what is there anything in the bill that addresses that?
Mr. Chair, there is nothing in the bill that addresses that issue. However, if again, if you're mirroring something similar to what FEMLA offers, you're not seeing businesses sidestep that issue. Also, when I was meeting with the business folks down there in Eugene, and I think you're familiar with the conversation with several of those members down there as well, this wasn't something that they were intentionally wanting to do in trying to harm their employees.
I know that there are some businesses that do have more than 25 employees, but the majority of Oregon workers, I think, work for employers with less than 25. Do you have an idea what the percentage of workforce works for employers with less than 25 employees?
Well, I know that from what the chambers report, I believe there's small businesses make up about 80% of the workforce here in the state.
And that would be employers with less than 25 employees?
More than likely.
And then also trying to grasp the idea of why exempting agriculture and construction workers.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, and committee members, one of the things dealing with the issue involving agriculture, it's going to be far-reaching because of the processing part of it. For example, Oregon freeze dry. National Frozen Foods out of Albany, they hire a lot of seasonal workers. I mean, they get up in the neighborhood of about 5,000 employees during, you know, the real high work time. For example, also another example of agriculture would be Stallbush Island Farms over toward Corvallis, which is still part of Linn County. Huge volume of temporary and seasonal workers at that time. This obviously would have some far-reaching impact to them as well during that time period if they're going to have to be in a position to offer that. Construction worker, again, that can also fall into seasonal as well.
So your concern about the seasonal workers, it seems to me that seasonal workers would have a very difficult time accruing enough time to actually use it, even if they were included. And so they would accrue at a much, you know, slower rate if they're seasonal, obviously. So I guess what you're saying is we should just exempt them and not allow them to accrue at all. And it seems to me that, you know, those workers work very hard and do get sick once in a while, and certainly, just like any other workers, would benefit from having some paid sick time. But you're, I guess, taking a position that because of their seasonal nature, they shouldn't have sick time. It's too much of a burden on the employers.
That would
for
be
some
correct.
Reason.
You know, and the other thing too, Mr. Chair, what you're doing with here is you're setting the tone, you're setting the pace for businesses throughout the state. I mean, if you were to pass the Dash 18s into this bill and move forward with that, I really do think you're sending a message clearly throughout the state for what's happening for businesses and what the legislature is paying attention to. Doesn't mean that you can't come back and address that issue at some other day. But, you know, the relationship between the employer and the employee has got to be one of leadership follower. And it works both ways, but your best leaders are servants as well. So if they're concerned about what's happening in their employee's life, they'll see this as well. And I think they'll pay attention to what the message is from the legislature.
Great. Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you. You've sort of worked with a group, as I understand the process, and so for example, I have a couple of questions. One of them is, how did you come to choose 25?
Okay, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Kinnemer, that was a decision that was made by the folks down in Eugene. They felt that was probably the best process to have some consistency for statute and also
family leave statute
to do it that way.
And to move...
Another question, please.
Follow up.
And to move from 30 hours, 1 hour earned for 30 hours to 1 hour earned for 40 hours again, is that FMLA too, or is that...
No, that is not part of FMLA.
No, that's no. Just... And what was the rationale?
Well, because generally you're trying to work 40 hours a work week.
And...
Follow up, please.
And what was the rationale in choosing 180 days before you can use sick leave?
Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Kinnamer, again, that follows that of what FEMLA.
Other questions? Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, when you get back to the I can't remember how you phrased it, Mr. Chair, as far as the sick pay and 25 employees, but most employees or employers that I know, you know, offer some vacation after someone has worked there for a year, and then also if they had even 10 to 12 to 20 employees, you know, and the vacation time also, as is written in most of these amendments or in the bill itself, you know, would replace that sick pay. So to kind of hammer on the sick pay, when it can be replaced with vacation, you know, seems to be a non-issue. I mean, that's just the way I'm reading it. I mean, we're kind of beating it up on sick pay, but we're saying every kind of time off will incorporate the same purpose. Does that make sense?
Somebody else catch that?
I got it.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, because I've heard this from different employers and everything, and I think what Representative Barreto is trying to get at is where, I mean, we're talking about replacing time, and they offer vacation pay, maybe a week of vacation, well, they'll turn that into sick leave rather than vacation. Or they've been personal time off, well, rather than calling it personal time off, it's going to be called sick leave. And I think one of the things I'd like to get at with Representative Olson on the agricultural, construction, seasonal, and temporary employees, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I've heard from my community on this, I mean, these are, like in the agriculture, you might have somebody who's only working 1 week or a month for you at a time, and that's it, and they're done. So for them to accumulate a week's extra pay at that time is kind of their concern. Would that be correct from what you're hearing from
them? Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Widener, that's going to be a piece that's going to be plugged into this, yes. I mean, there is a concern with that.
Which that would be, in essence, giving them that. Almost a 20, 30% raise on what their salary would be for that month while they're there. So the other thing looked at...
I'll follow up.
If I may follow up on that. Sorry, Mr. Chair. Is we went over the issue of commission-based employees. Agriculture, a lot of these different plays, they get paid by the piece or the work that they do. Was that the work group that you were in, were they covering a lot of that during the work group?
So, Mr. Chair and Representative Widener, I'm not understanding your commission-based question.
It'd be commission or, like, say they're picking blueberries or whatever, you're getting paid by the pound of what you pick. So is what usually happens. And I'm just wondering, how would you do sick leave when someone's more of a contract employee coming through, if that was discussed and brought up during the discussions you had?
No, it was not.
Okay. I could, Mr. Chair.
Another follow-up? Go ahead.
Follow-up, a little bit of a question. I think dealing with a lot of the issues and concerns that you're having and other members are with this, with like the dash 21 or 19 that I have on that, sort of covers it because it's based off salary that the employee is just covering their own sick leave, where they're putting money into their sick leave account so they could still be offered the time off during those periods, but the employer isn't hit with that burden of having to cover that expense and find somebody else to take their place for a lot of these seasonal workers or part-time workers, and we're still able to make them financially whole or help them be financially sufficient. So I think there's a good possibility for a combination there. I don't know. I'd like Representative Wilson to talk with his group and some others on that, but I think that would make perfect sense.
Representative Hurd, a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may just kind of give a summary of how I see this amendment, and then Representative Olson, please feel free to correct me if I'm misinterpreting your efforts.
I will.
I know you will.
Yeah, he's sort of bashful.
He's my dad's age, by the way.
So. Excuse me, I'm older than he is.
Wait a minute, I'm older than Olson.
Okay, let's back on topic, please.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. So, as I thank you again, Representative Olson, for your obvious efforts here to reach out to the job creators. The 25 hours to me, as a small business employer, the 25 hours would not deter me from employing my current employees or future employees, at least in what I do, from employing them as many hours a week as I need to. Good people, when you have good people, you have to supply them with hours if you're going to keep them. It's just the facts. I do understand that there may be some, maybe a couple industries, the restaurant industry comes to mind, that may struggle with this some, but I think they're already struggling with a lot of the regulations the federal government and the state government have put on them to be incentivized to put people there more than 24 hours. So I don't think this will have 25 hours per week. I don't think this will have a negative impact on that. The 40 hour accruing rate, I look at that positively because I think it brings symmetry to with what Representative alluded to is what in our mind is a 40-hour week, and so it just makes it easier from a paperwork standpoint and just a mental adoption of this bill. Also, the 180 days, again, as an employer and as a former employee, to me, that seems like it's, okay, I'm working at this company now, and I need to establish my relationship there. The proof that I'm here to help the company make money is they're here to help me make money. It's just building that relationship and proving, earning my time there, to which then I break into that period of, okay, I've established myself, now I've earned some of this paid sick leave time. To me, this just looks like an amendment that is really acknowledged that, and then finally, the 25 employees are more. To me, that's acknowledging that when your 25 employees are less, typically you're a younger business than the bigger business. And with any child, the younger you are, the weaker you are, the less stress and the less weight you need placed on you as you begin to fly or walk. And so I think we're just acknowledging through this amendment that we don't want to put so much stress on our small businesses that we collapse them, because that's, I think we would all agree, the worst thing we could do to the employee is for the job creator's company to be crushed under the weight of regulation like this. And it's never going to be just this bill. It's going to be all the bills accumulatively that we're passing in this session and in past sessions.
Representative Hurd, do you have a question?
No.
Well,
I didn't know we were.
I was just curious.
I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know we were limited to questions.
No. Yes, go ahead. I was just trying to.
I think I'm making some valid points, Mr. Chair, as far as how it affects job creators. Without job creators, there are no employees. And so we need to be careful that we don't. We need to make sure there is a mutual benefit marriage with
certainly
the bills we're passing.
Opinion. Go ahead.
Well,
your business doesn't.
I mean, Mr. Chair, I think you and I both understand get where Resident Hurd's going with this, but the point being is that I could not have come up with the Dash 18s, to be truthful with you, on my own, because I don't have that background experience. I mean, I come from public sector background. But over the last 10 years, I mean, especially having been in this building, I've reached out to businesses, to the private sector, and especially those folks that I've gotten to know extremely well down in the Eugene and Springfield area in Lane County. This is theirs. This isn't, you know, so much mine. But on behalf of them, I present this to you.
Follow up, Representative Hurd, at all?
Thank you.
Representative Barreto, or
no.
Representative Knows. Whose hand do I see down there?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I would just point out that we've had a sick leave law in Portland that is similar to the Dash 1 amendments into the bill that was introduced. And where I live in Southeast Portland, it's mostly small business, restaurant owners, healthcare clinics, shopkeepers. And when I was canvassing, certainly there was some grousing from employers about having to implement this law, but I'm not really aware of any small business at the end of the day that's suffering under the creation of this benefit. I mean, we're doing fine.
Do you have a question on the Dash 18s?
I don't. I'm just saying that I'd like to.
I think small businesses need
access to this benefit. Workers, people who work in small businesses, which is under 25 as defined by this, need access to that benefit.
Representative Olson, do you have an answer to that question?
No, it wasn't a question. I'll just move on.
Fair enough.
So before you, Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you. I guess I was sitting here, I'm not sure we put it on the record. Part of the issue, too, with temporary and seasonal workers is the enormous administrative burden. And I guess just wanted to make sure of that. And I assume that's the rationale for your assumptions there.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Kinnemer, that happens to be part of the piece to it.
Are there any other questions on the Dash 18 for Representative Olson? Representative Barreto?
Comment or question?
Let me
see if I can phrase this as a question.
Yeah, I was going to say you should be able to.
Do you see the 25 hours a week, full-time, part-time, would you think the administrative cost to try and regulate people at 25 hours a week would more than offset trying to maintain them as part-time employees? Wouldn't the sick time be pretty insignificant, you know, compared to the administrative costs?
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Barreto, not having been an employer, other than having been a station commander of, troopers and everything, I don't feel that I'm really in a position to answer that question.
Would you like me to answer?
Sure.
No, I'm just
absolutely.
Wait a second.
Actually,
follow up.
Thank you. As a business owner, I would, trying to make a point here that administrative costs would far outweigh the insignificance of paying for the sick leave.
Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify. The Dash 22 amendments are also included in your 18s. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Kinnemer, that's correct.
I just wanted to
clarify. There's an exemption or a preemption issue there. Oh, I'm sorry, a collective bargaining issue, yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that. They appear to be quite a bit different, the Dash 22s and the Dash 18s. So, perhaps the Dash 22 is sort of a base for which you made amendments to.
But excuse me, Mr. Chair. I
follow up.
I think I stated that poorly. I think that in concept they're not far apart, but they are differently drafted. They are independently drafted. And my apology, I should have been more careful in that. But I think, and I don't know, Bob, I'm not the expert on this one, but I think they have similar goals or outcomes.
Right. So does the Dash 18 cover home care workers?
Mr. Chair, I can't answer that question. I do not know.
Oh. Okay.
Charlie is nodding yes.
Yes,
oh,
it
yes,
does.
I do.
It's listed.
I do see it.
I think, yeah.
I do see it, yes. Okay, I thank you very much. I don't see any other questions. There's certainly a few fundamental differences in the bill, but I appreciate you bringing this forward and putting it on the table for us to look at and discuss.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Representative Olson. So, Jan, we also have the Dash 22, which is, I believe, just sort of a redo of the Dash 3 that we went over earlier. Do you have the specific changes in the Dash?
When we last talked about the amendments, the only change that you have before you in the 22 is the way the retaliation, the penalties, the grace period. In the 22, there is a one-year grace period. Boley would be able to assess civil penalties only for violations occurring on or after January 1 of 2017. However, if it's a violation for the retaliation, discrimination, Boley could assess a civil penalty. So that is the difference in the 22 compared to what we talked about on Wednesday.
So did the Dash 18 have a section on retaliation in it?
That Representative Olson's amendment?
Yes.
Skip to the very bottom. Yes. Okay. So the Dash 18, there's a grace period, no penalties until January 1 of 2017 unless it is for discrimination or retaliation. May be assessed against an employer occurring on or after January 1, 2017. So Representative Olson's amendment is the grace period on all violations until 2017, including discrimination and retaliation.
Okay. So retaliation in that first year
would be
exempted from.
Yes, not enforced.
Okay. Thank you. There are a host of other amendments. Did anybody want to speak to any of the other amendments? Representative Kinnemer?
Representative Widener has a couple of amendments in, and maybe he can speak to the 19s and the 21s.
Representative Widener, you want to speak to the 19s or 21s? Which do you prefer?
I can go over both of them quickly. So they're similar in nature. These are similar when we had the Treasurer's Bill the other day, but essentially is what the 19s are. It's sick leave and retirement. And the reason I have those is employees, they move them around. You'll have seasonal workers, you'll have part-time workers, and it's tough to actually develop any sick leave with employers, and it's a burden on the employer for some of the part-time employees that they have to deal with or some of the different positions. And is what I'm kind of getting at here is where an employee will basically be building up their own sick leave account. So the 19 is actually a savings account that you would have with sick leave that would be administered through the employment office, where you would just file a claim against it to draw your money, and it would be your money that would accumulate in an account to build up your sick time savings account, essentially is what the 19 is. The 21 is the same thing, except it's set up. Actually, I'm sorry, 19 is the retirement account. The 21 would not become a retirement account. It's just a savings account. So the 19 would essentially do what I had here the other day for the Treasurer's Bill. That way, at the end, if you don't use it and you've accrued a lot of money, you can get some of the benefits of some of the tax breaks that you would have with retirement when you become 59 or 62, whatever level we set there, and they can draw that money out at that point and receive some tax benefit from it. When we go to the 21, it's just strictly a savings account. So you file a claim with the employment office, you draw your money out for the time that you're sick, and you can constantly accrue that account and let it build up. That way, smaller employers, this is something that they can work with their employees and help them or put in place for them to save if they ever do get sick, and it basically will help them so they don't face any financial burdens when they come to it. So I see the 21 and the 18 or the 19 and the 18 working very well together. And I see them as a huge benefit for employees because you're not beholden to any one employer if you want to move or switch jobs or anything like that. So, and those are the 19s and 21s.
Questions for Representative Widener?
Over here.
Representative Doherty.
I've got a couple of questions. So this is based on what you talked about the other day. A little bit.
Yes, okay. Similar to.
So it is the employee who pays into their own sick leave.
The employee takes a small portion, 3% of their salary, or they can choose. They don't have to pay into their sick leave so they can build up a savings account.
Does the employer pay anything into the sick leave account?
I was looking at having an option for the employers to do a match, Representative Doherty. The problem I ran into was ERISA kept coming up in that scenario, is why I kind of avoided that. But I wanted this to be the employee's money, so that way if you quit and go someplace else, that you still have that accrual and that benefit there. So if anything comes up, and the place where this really would come into play when we get older, say we come down with have cancer. Or
I have a follow-up on that.
Follow-up.
So in other words, and then where does that money go that you're able to transfer it to another employer?
It would be your account that's housed. The treasurer would maintain it, but it would be, you would file a claim with the employment office to draw your sick leave pay. So say you're off on Monday because you're hungover. Well, you probably wouldn't make a claim unless you really needed the money. But if you were out for a week because you're sick, you would file a claim. You would receive it. They just call your employer and say, was Joe sick this week? And they say, yes, Joe was sick or Mary was sick. And then they would pay them, the employment office would.
And so it would, another follow-up, so it would vary depending on what their salary is. So some weeks you could be making minimum wage, another week you could be making maybe nothing because you're not working. I mean, is it
correct,
a cumulative sort of thing?
Or? Yeah, it just accumulates off a percentage of your salary.
Yeah, seems kind of confusing, but oh, okay.
So I'm looking at all this discussion in the 19s and 21s. Are you confident that these proposals fit in the relating to clause of the bill, which is mandatory provisions of sick time?
Yes, because it's mandatory that the employer provide this.
It's about sick time, and you're talking about retirement in this bill.
No, that would be
amendments
in 19, but 21 doesn't. So that's why I had the 21s drafted, because I didn't want it to be so much a retirement account. But the thing with the sick leave, I wanted people to build up so it's there when you need it in an emergency, Representative Holvey. But I want it to be, I mean, it's that person's own money that they've actually invested into their own sick time. And at the end, they deserve to receive that back. The reason we added the retirement was more for a tax benefit for the individual. So this account builds up, and say you have $300,000 in there. You don't want the government taking all the money that you've put in all this time, and you want to have some sort of benefit to subsidize your Social Security. Or it might be where you draw it out when you're 45, because I came down with cancer and I have to take a year leave of absence from work because I have to battle this cancer. I can draw that money out at that time over that period of time. But it doesn't allow you, like with a 401k, where they can go out and take out a big lump sum because they get in financial trouble or something like that, like the treasurer's bill would.
So this bill just allows an employee to put into a savings account for the future, for sick time if they want.
Right,
or
and that's
they
the
want,
only
so.
Reason they can take it out is and for sick leave. If you're not sick, you can't take the money out.
Interesting. Thank you. Other questions? Not seeing any. Thank you. Representative Kinnemer.
You want to discuss some other amendments?
If you have other amendments that you would wish to discuss, please feel free.
Okay. You know, based off of your dash ones and dash three, some other improvements that some of us were thinking about is your dash eight, which exempts agricultural employees, and the dash nine deals with the seasonal workers, including temporary employees. and these are topics we've already been discussing, and the Dash 10s reduces the right of return from 6 months to 90 days, and the Dash 11s changes the rate of accrual from 30 hours to 40 hours. I mean, I think these have already been discussed, but I just wanted to say from my perspective, and I think a fair number of people's perspective, those would be improvements if you were to go with the current bill.
So sort of individual issues being addressed in those different amendments.
Yeah. Yeah, they are all separate, yeah, but they are part of the bigger package.
Thanks. Maybe other questions, Representative Widener?
Actually, Mr. Chair, I was going to say, depending upon the direction we go, the Dash 4s and the Dash 5s, where they provide the tax credits for the employer as well, I think those would be very powerful if this is something that the direction the committee went to help businesses be able to implement this program and help them out to where they're not carrying the full burden. And I mean, it becomes a collaborative effort with the state at that point. So
is there a funding source for those tax credits?
Well, it would be in the payroll deduction, and it would be something that we're telling them to pay. The state's putting that payment on them. So I think we should be saying, you know what, you're not going to be taxed on this.
Oh, so it would come out of the tax revenue that they owe to the state? Would theoretically have a direct impact on the general fund?
Correct.
Thank you. Other questions? Maybe I get LC, to Legislative Council, to come up for a second, if you don't mind, since I see you sitting there anxious to answer my questions.
No good deed goes unpunished in this committee.
Good morning, Chair Holy. Charlie Cheek from Lutz Council.
Good morning. I had a question. The Dash 22 amendments, if as Representative Kinnemer sort of highlighted a couple of the other amendments that spoke to employer size and a few other are those amendments compatible with adopting the 22 and then adopting some of these others to change it, or would that be a...
Are you speaking about the 18s?
No, not the 18s. The 8s that exempt the agricultural, the 9s that exempt the temporary employees.
Did 8 through 11.
Yeah. 8 through 11, I think, is what he was speaking of. Are they consistent with the Dash 22s if they were adopted separately?
I can't answer that completely, but for what you've described, I would say they are. Now, as far as the other provisions in those two sets of amendments, I'd have to look and see if they were compatible or not.
All right, that was my only
but
question.
But as far as exemptions go, that they are compatible. We have an exemptions, you know, section in the 22s.
And you heard Ms. Nordland describe the 22s as they were different from the 3s, and do you concur that that was basically the only change, was the retaliation
piece? Well, I can't say that I concur it was the only change. Because those amendments all evolved and had minor changes as we went along, but they are based on the 3s as the administrator, as Jan described them to you.
Okay. Just wanted to be certain of that, trying to keep all these different amendments straight. Appreciate that. Other questions? The other question I asked Representative Widener was about the his Dash 19s and Dash 21s fitting into the relating to clause of the bill when you're talking about retirement and some of those other issues.
In my opinion, that's problematic.
Problematic meaning they don't fit into the relating to clause.
I'm not a judge.
Okay, thanks.
I just think there's an argument to be made they do not. There's also an argument could be made that they do. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, my legal opinion, it is problematic.
Okay.
If I may?
Representative Widener.
Charlie is just... Actually, I'm trying to pull it up. Mm-hmm. But where we mandate the employer provide this, so it's because it says it's required. So, and it's mandatory sick leave, and we're requiring that they offer this.
That's the argument that it does fit within the title, representative. The argument against it is that when it says mandatory sick leave, it means that it must be implemented and required. And your plan does not require that. The savings part of it. It's voluntary. It's not mandatory.
So if we made it, I guess, because I have it mandatory that they offer it, so we just need to make it mandatory for the employee to participate?
That, in my opinion, that would certainly make it much more likely that the title would be adequate, yes.
And that would be the one thing that would make everybody hate my bill at that point.
Well, maybe not the one thing. Well,
thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate you being here. And I won't comment that you should go back to work because I know you've been here working ahead of schedule. No. Thank you so much for your work.
Indulge the committee with one personal comment. You did not stop me from drafting my fantasy baseball team this weekend, so
yes. Good.
Bring it on.
Thank you so much for all your work on this. I know you've been working tirelessly with all these amendments.
Mr. Chair, may I follow up on that? Did you use auto draft?
No, you may not. Thank you very much. I think we've gone over most of the amendments, so with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2005. And nothing else on the agenda at this point. I think we will reschedule the bill. We won't be able to work it on Wednesday, so we'll reschedule that. With that, I'll adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor.
It's a good thing we started at 8 a.m.